From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Thank you for joining us today on ABQ Connect. This is Jim Williams sitting in for Steve Ryman. So glad you joined us today, because this is one of those ways you can start your week with a lot of encouragement. I have four good friends in studio, Steve and Denise McKee and Mark and Christine Paulson. I've known you all for a long time. I think I've known Steve probably the longest, because Steve's dad was an athletic director at the University of New Mexico and took care of me when I was out there. And Steve and I had frequent conversations about that. But the reason we're together today is because you all have had a small group fellowship, kinship, connect group, you name it, with, you know, five, six couples that have been great friends and lived life together. And we all know, especially with COVID and what we read in scripture, that being an island, being isolated, being by yourself is not a very good thing for Christians to do. And I'm so impressed, because Christine and Mark took a few minutes with me a week or so ago to talk to me over at the Solomon's Porch Sopo Coffee House about just this amazing group that you've had. So I'm going to start right away. And I think I'm going to start with the Paulsons. How has your small group spoken into your marriage and supported your marriage?
Well, thanks for having us, Jim. I think that's a loaded question, but, you know, I, without overthinking it, you know, when we first got involved and met these folks, they were like-minded, obviously, as believers. We were the same age, so we had a lot of commonalities there. But for me personally, I guess I'll speak to that, is just the accountability and opportunity to get together with folks at that time. I didn't know, obviously, that it would last this long. Mm-hmm. But their personalities were such that I trusted them. They had more wisdom than I'm kind of the, I don't want to say hothead of the group, but I can lose control faster than the other guys. They bring a little more to the table than I do. And so they became such dear friends, and their ability to counsel, or I don't even know, that sounds a little bit too mechanical. Just be there to ask questions about children or marriage or what we were doing. So just a support group, you know, a group you could speak freely to. And obviously you're a bit guarded to start with, but as it didn't take us very long. I mean, Steve might disagree, but it didn't take long for us to realize I trust anything I can say to these guys.
Yeah.
And it's going to stay right here. Christine?
Mark comes from a background of seeing what a marriage really looked like. And I love this question, Jim, because, you know, it's like, you know, a marriage, I had no idea what it even looked like. You know, I came from a broken family and a divorced family. And it was really, you know, me watching these couples and seeing how they worked things out. And we had something called the fight of the week, and we would discuss it. It was great. It was like, oh my gosh, how are they going to handle this? You know, I just heard a lot of yelling at home. And so it was really an amazing thing for me. And we brought that into our marriage. We got to work on this. And I know that how it supported our marriage too. And I know that Denise and Steve will talk more about this, is that we had a couple that's also in our kinship group, the Williams, and they would always have us in some type of program or some kind of group. So we would always like do a study. And so it was just learning and watching and growing as a Christian.
I love that. Now I got to know a little bit more about fight of the week. Yeah, I mean, is this something that you're sharing about each other? Tell me about that, Steve.
We had, it seemed like every week somebody got in a fight, right? That's pretty normal. Five couples, that's pretty normal. And the unfortunate thing is when you're fighting with your spouse and all the unpleasantness there, to add to the unpleasantness is the realization that, oh no, this is going to be the fight of the week. So usually the fight was over by then, and we would share it and sort of diagnose what happened together. And it was a lot of fun. It wasn't always over. Sometimes it was re-engaged in. But pretty much every week we sort of, it became a running joke that who had the fight of the week, which was very, very helpful.
It was very healthy and healing because I think a lot of times we really learned from each other in that conflict. It's like, oh, that's a conflict that we easily could have too, you know, mm-hmm. maybe something they were arguing about. And so for us to be able to just kind of hear how they processed it and went through it and came to the other end of resolution was just helpful for everyone. And I think a lot of times too, it really just solidified us as a group because when you're that vulnerable, you know, you get really close. So, and I will say that something that we started talking about vulnerability and just trusting, that was kind of one of the initial ground rules for us as a kinship. And that was what happens in kinship stays in kinship. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say, I can't remember in the last 37 years, mm-hmm. a single time any of us have broken that trust and mm-hmm. shared outside of the kinship, right. what happened in kinship. So.
So you're willing to share some of that now. Mark, you started this by talking to us about your personality, maybe a little fiery compared to the others. If you fought with Christine and there was the fight of the week and you were sharing, I mean, what were the, was that awkward initially for you to say, yeah, this is what I said to my wife? And then Christine would say, yeah, this is how I perceive that. I mean, was that tough? Is that something that was very, very difficult for you?
No, I don't think so. I think Skip said it one time. I forget where I heard the phrase. You can tell that, paraphrasing, you're ready to grow when you stop justifying your actions. And, you know, it's easy as a man to feel like you've got the high ground all the time without getting all the facts. And you had mentioned, Jim, you know, coaching for a living at the university. And my whole day was spent being critical, being hard on people, being hard on my staff, being hard on myself. And if that carries over to home, you're asking for trouble. But the blessing of Christine in our marriage is she did come from a broken home and she did not have the setting that I had, the solid mom and dad family unit. But she brought to the marriage the biblical approach of never letting the sun, you know, set on a problem. Mm-hmm. If you got something to say, say it. Now, I come from a background of I'd rather let this fester. It feels good to be mad. I'm right, you're wrong. And yet, as is usually the case, when you get all the facts, you realize, Mark, maybe you weren't quite so right. And maybe you need to say you're sorry. I think maybe one of the greatest things that's come out of my growth with this group of people is when you're wrong, you're wrong. And it's okay to call somebody up and say, listen, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
Yes.
And they receive it in such a way that it's swept under the rug and we move on down the road.
Yeah. I do want to bring up, and we'll bring up everybody in your group. I hope they don't mind if they're listening. Lisa and Danny Andazola. I've actually known Lisa longer than I've known you, Steve. So Lisa and I worked together at Nautilus Fitness Centers way, way, way back in the day. Lisa's only 40, but somehow I'm 65. I don't know how that works. But I know the personality of Lisa. Lisa is very gentle, but she ain't afraid of anything. And I don't care how big you are, she's going to tell you what she thinks. And she's going to do it gently, and she's going to be very direct. So I bring up her personality because I see Danny as very laid back kind of guy. And you've mentioned yourself, Mark, as very, you know, fiery. Christine is a competitive tennis player today. And by the way, good luck tomorrow and in the event tomorrow.
Thanks.
But I guess I'm bringing this up because you have a mixture of different people. Steve and Denise, I've known them since they started dating and got married. And you have kids going on, kids being born, kids interacting with one another. We're going to talk about parenting and that kind of stuff in just a minute. So maybe I should direct this to Christine. Christine, when you see your husband confessing sin, really, that's what we're talking about. Really, just how was that healing for you to see that happen and the rest of the group just love on him
Did it really change things?
It changed my understanding of what it's like to walk as a Christian and to live as a Christian, because I didn't grow up with anything like that. And I read it, but to see it practically, mm-hmm. you know, seeing couples, you know, apologize and asking for forgiveness. I mean, that was big. I mean, sometimes I heard, "I'm sorry," you know, mm-hmm. growing up, but I never heard, you know, "Will you forgive me?" And we, you know, that was a whole different thing. And now it's in my ball game to forgive Mark. So that was something that was new. And hopefully I taught my kids that too. So it would be just the same thing.
Steve, I'm deviating. Your children, they lived life with your small group. There's five, six couples, but the children live this life. Do you think they'll be inclined to the same kind of relationships and accountability as they get older?
They're pining for it. They're aching for it. Mm-hmm. Now, especially our kids are all over the country and they have kids of their own, and they're pining for what we had. They tease us, of course, because when we all got together, it was a nightmare of noise. Yeah, I mean, they're all the same age. It was chaos, and there was bloody noses and writing on other people's walls and all that stuff.
That was our child.
But and they tease us. We'll send them a photo when we meet now, you know, that we're meeting, and they give us a hard time. But they desperately want what we've had, and they're seeking it on their own.
I love that. And Denise, are you, as mom, how does mom continue when you have children in Washington, D.C., and where else are your children?
Boston and Norfolk, Virginia, and one here in Albuquerque.
One in Albuquerque. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
What is mom now? Do they call you and say, "How did you do this, mom?"
Yeah, you become, instead of kind of the commander-in-chief of the house, you become the encourager. Because mm-hmm. I always get the phone calls, you know, from the girls far away. "Mom, you know, this is happening. What should I do?" And so the roles have definitely changed, but definitely one of encouragement. And the neat thing is the kids are all still, you know, faithfully walking with the Lord. So in that encouragement, of course, I'm able to point him back to the Word and, you know, do what God wants us to do. So
let's go back to the beginning. You formed the group. Mm-hmm. Were you committing to something that you didn't realize you were committing to? Did it become a lot more than what you thought it would be initially as you became part of a small group? And I ask that mm-hmm. because that's not negative to me. It's just so many times our expectations mm-hmm. for relationships are so low. Mm-hmm. And you guys have attained crazy heights in terms of intimacy with the men and the women and the interaction between the couples. How would you say, what were you committing to at the time, and how do you perceive it differently now?
Well, we had been, when Christine and I first got here, and by the way, my wife, strangely enough, She and I are the only couple that are not from Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our life story is a little bit different. But Christine actually led me to the Lord in Southern California.
So you asked yourself a question. These hillbillies from Albuquerque, can we get along?
Jimmy, you said it better than I could have ever said it. And but no, when we first got here, we immediately came to Calvary Chapel because Kevin and Laura Stark had told us about this wonderful church and the pastor and the Chuck Smith and all that, and we loved the church immediately. And we heard about kinships, so we went out, looked at a few kinships, and, you know, they just didn't click. They were obviously wonderful people. But sometimes that's really not for us. And then we got into a group with Kevin and Laura, and that lasted just, I want to say, a year and a half. And then some people departed, and we were told about this group from I think it was Laura Stark or mm-hmm. Kevin. And so we went up there, and to your point, from a commitment standpoint, well, you're an athlete too, Jimmy. I mean, usually you do things with commitment at the forefront. Mm-hmm. You don't really engage in something unless you're ready to jump in. And so we did. And it wasn't hard with all these couples because there was just such, I can't hardly say it in front of Steve, but cool people here.
Yeah.
and and a very diverse group of people that was really intriguing to me, because I always liked to stretch. And I mean, every one of these guys and gals, they have a skill set that I don't have. And so it was easy to answer your question, to be committed to it right out of the gates before children ever came. We needed that. I needed it professionally. I needed a place like that. And we look back at it now and realize we did this every week, every week. And it almost seems incomprehensible to do that today, but we did it and we loved it.
And the results are evident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've never looked at this. You know, funny, we talk about the years that have gone by now, and I've never looked at our group as anything special. We just did it, and it was wonderful. But in hindsight, seeing what's going on in the world, I realize now how special this particular group is, and the fact that we've basically lived our lives far longer together than my own family, you know, your immediate family.
But it's not just about what you did in your meetings. I mean, you're talking about what Pastor Skip talked about from the pulpit.
Sure.
You already mentioned Renee and Mike were putting together little Bible study kind of things, and there was always something to do.
Right.
It sounds like. What was the structure? Who decided the structure?
Well, when we first started, just to kind of go back to your previous question, I don't know if I can say anything about commitment. We just got together with, at that time, it was the Williams and the Starks and Genevieve and Diego Ruiz. And I have this very strong memory of meeting in Diego and Jen's apartment down off of Rio Grande Central. And it was just cool to hang out with new marrieds, because we were recently married and we, like all newlyweds, had some issues. And we're talking to other people, it's like, you have those too? So it was really terrific. So there are times when we have done Bible studies. There are times when we've done video series. There are times when we've just talked about the fight of the week. And there are times when we've cried and times when we've prayed. And we usually have it's kind of a running joke that whoever hosts, we rotate homes, that the king of the castle is responsible for the program.
Okay.
And we're all a little bit different. Sometimes I like to come up with creative things, creative questions and stuff. And that's fine. And so we rib each other, because whoever's the head of the household where we're meeting, we always give him a hard time. or if it's me, get a hard time. And much of the time when we're raising kids, it was, okay, what do we do now? You know, when the new issues arise.
But you also took a class together. Did I hear you say that? Was it just the Paulsons and McKees taking a parenting class?
I forget how we taught a parenting class, Christine and I did.
So, for about 12 years. So whatever we did, we shared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Early on, we took from Richard and Susie.
Right,
and
right. And I think the Ruizes did too, the Andazolas. Yeah, Williams. I think they all went through a portion of it. So, and then we just agreed on certain things. And sometimes, and I loved it, I have pictures. I brought an album here, and it's really sweet. But there's... I love when seeing some of the men sitting down eye to eye with the kids and having a devotional. And so that we'd meet at a park, you know, when the kids were all young, and they would have their little devotional, and then we would go back to the house, and then, you know, the job of putting them to bed, and then having parent time, you know. So
I don't know the details of this, so it'll be an awkward question, but I'll do my best. So I know there's things going on, like Mark, when you left as the strength coach at the University of New Mexico, those are big life decisions. I want to know about the group interaction there. Steve, you were running an advertising agency, decided to form McKee Wallwork. That was in the middle of all of this. I know that Diego Ruiz decided to start his own contracting business and build these super spectacular homes. Andazolas did the same thing. I know the Williamses switched jobs. Renee became a realtor. She used to do all my appraising for me when she was an appraiser. So there were life changes going on. How did the group speak into those changes?
You know, we also, all of us moved away at different times, and we all came back. And part of the reason we wanted to come back was because we missed the fellowship. Mm-hmm. When I started the company, these knuckleheads were telling me I should start a company for a long time before I had the courage to do it, which they saw something in me that I didn't see. I think that speaks to it as much as anything. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely encouragement throughout all these life changes that happened. And it was just fun to have people that we knew had our back and we knew would be honest with us and encourage us. And quite frankly, we knew they'd be praying for us in these life changes that we were going through. So,
yes. Does investing in other people come at a price, or did you find the people in your group making the same investment in you? So it's kind of like love gives back as much as it, or gets as much as it gives out.
I think, I think what we all had the character of is giving. You know, I think we didn't look at kinship as what we were getting at it, mm-hmm. out of it. Mm-hmm. So I think if you're ever looking for a group, a kinship group, a connect group, you know, go with the heart of what are you going to give? So I think that's really important.
I love that. I love that. I'm in studio today with Denise and Steve McKee and Mark and Christine Paulson. We're talking about small group fellowship. And is it 35 years or more?
It'll be 37 in December.
So 37 years together. Five, six couples. One of the couples hasn't been with you the whole time. But Christine, I'm still impressed with this. And we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and talk about more about how the groups encourage your marriage. But you told me the other day, not one divorce in the small group that you've had, which right. I find to be absolutely amazing. Steve and Denise McKee, along with Mark and Christine Paulson in the studio with us today. This is Jim Williams sitting in for Steve Ryman. Steve will be back with you tomorrow. And actually, he won't be back with you tomorrow because we're going to be replaying a couple interviews that we did last week, one with Lenya Heitzik and one with Ethel Maharg with Love Life. So hope you'll join us for that as well. Two interviews that I think were, we got a bunch of email on them and people are really interested in having those re-aired. So we're doing that again tomorrow. So Steve will be back on Wednesday. Steve, you said something during the break that I found, again, very fascinating, and that is you think the group, the kinship group, made it so you've not had a divorce in your group for over 35 years.
I do think so, because so we have the Starks, the Williams, the Ruizes, the Anazolas, the McKees, the Paulsons, and then Murray and Frances Byrne, who are currently the ones who have moved away. We got to get them back.
They're in Australia.
They're in
right?
Australia. Yeah. And when I look back over the years and all the stuff that we went through, and we've gone through a great deal together. We've gone through life together and death. And the fight of the week and challenges and being laid off from jobs and all that stuff. The therapy that our kinship has been, the fact that you can't be mistreating your spouse very much or very long without being busted for it, I think absolutely. Not to mention just the good teaching and the fellowship and the encouragement to stick it out. I do think that, you know, that's seven couples. Statistically, that's like not possible.
One of the things, I'm going to direct this to the women. I hear in your communication that, and I heard it from Mark as well, that the guys have some communication together, separate from the wives, and the wives have communication separate from the husbands. How important is that, Christine?
Well, that's very important. In the beginning, the guys, I think it was before kids, Promise Keepers. Can I say Promise Keepers? So basically they would go, I mean, it was just great. I mean, for them to go and do these manly things and come back better men, it was just amazing. We tend to get away more frequently, just as women normally are. So we try to, we always get together on our birthdays. We try to get away for retreats and visit. We periodically have Bible studies, like off to the side, you know, just, you know, outside the normal kinship time.
We just make it. And we have our little group chat.
And we have our group chat. If
we pretty
my
much
gosh.
Are in touch every single day with yes. some sort of encouragement or yes. a podcast that somebody saw or something.
Yes.
But it's nice to have that just
yeah, and
touch
prayer.
Point.
Gosh, I mean, yeah. that's the biggest one, yeah. you know, when we're yeah. able to, like, have a life event go on and go boom, you yeah. know, and you've got these women that I know are on their knees for me.
Yep.
So, and me them. Mm-hmm.
Denise, I know that you've been involved. I know the level you've been involved with because I coached your boys in basketball, and I went to almost every performance that your girls performed at Christmas Joy, which is an amazing ministry. Mm-hmm. And I know that some of you may have gone to those performances as well, especially the women, because they're just beautiful. But involving your children in ministry things seems like it's a theme that runs through your relationships as well.
For our kids, you mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, you right now, your daughter and son-in-law are pastoring a church in Washington, D.C. Yes. I mean, that's stuff that gets planted when they're really young. Right.
And I think, you know, for all of our kids, I would say that they saw a Christian life being worked out in their parents and within the kinship. And it spoke to them because all of our kids, like Steve kind of touched on earlier, they long for this kind of fellowship. They long for this kind of kinship. Anytime we post pictures of us girls getting together for whatever birthday party we're celebrating, all of our girls will comment, you know, oh, goals, I want that so bad, you know? And so I think we've set an example for them of, you know, what real koinonia, real kinship, real love is. And it's a kind of hard, high bar because they haven't, none of them have really achieved it yet as far as having that intimate small group. But there's that love and that desire for it.
And they want it.
They want it. Yeah.
I resent the fact, Mark, that I'm the oldest person in the room. But mm-hmm. if you weren't involved in a fellowship like this and you're listening on the radio and you're 55, 60 years old, where do you, is it, how could somebody start a relationship with this? How could a small group be formed? Do you have any ideas about that? Do they just need to do it, just commit to some people and start meeting together?
Well, I think the logical answer is that your church is to poke around there and see what's going on and what do I need to do, even ask the associate pastor, if not the pastor, and just investigate. What are my options out there? And, you know, we've been together so long, I'm not quite sure what you would do, but that's what I would do. I mean, I would go to that logical place. And if a church doesn't have it, you know, go to another church you respect and see, again, that to me is a logical place because now biblically you're all on the same foundation, your same, you know, you're starting off with the same understanding. And that's one thing, not to get off track of your question, but you know, the thing I love about these guys, because the gals do get together more often, but they speak the truth. And they're I don't know that I would call them biblical scholars, but according to this world, they are absolutely scholars. Mm-hmm. And they're grounded in the word. And so they speak truth. I'll guarantee you, Jim, if I said something in our kinship setting, that they disagree with, I'm going to hear about it right now. They're not going to take it home with them, and they present it in such a way that it's accepted by me. But I love the, and I'll push back too if I think they're wrong. I got no problem saying, listen, I wouldn't go down that road. So truth is a wonderful thing. Based on, I mean, truth is not malleable. It's either truth or it's not. So to have these kind of guys in my life has been priceless.
That reminds me of three questions that we've sort of lost touch on this, but we used to ask each other a lot, the guys, which was, is there anything you need to tell me? And that pregnant pause right there, right? And then it's, is there anything you didn't tell me that you should have?
Wow.
And the third question is, what would your wife say? Mm. And those are challenging questions. And you can't evade eye contact on that for long without getting busted.
Without getting busted. Mm-hmm. But you have to be willing to allow people to speak into your life. You know, I can't imagine being a strength coach, being involved in football. You've got all these, if I can use the term, alpha males that aren't, you know, they're badgered into submitting to the coaches, but will they listen to somebody speaking into their lives about stuff that's going on? Would you listen to Denise, who is a very calm, composed, Denise, you haven't been a competitive athlete that I know of?
No.
But Christine is Mark's wife. But would you listen to Denise in the same way that you would listen to Christine? Can she speak into your life that same way?
Absolutely. And the ladies in this kinship have, you know, and I take it. I don't think there's anybody that feels like any other couple has any particular wisdom. You know, it's just kind of a shared. And certainly, I mean, take a guy like Steve, for example, gifted in obviously in marketing and advertising. He's got creativity like Diego Ruiz has. God didn't give me that gene.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah. And so I love that, though. I'm not challenged by that. I'm inspired by it, reading Steve's books and all those kinds of things. So I forget what your question was. But
no, I was really asking about how you have decided to. I'm trying to take a personality type and see, can Denise speak into your life?
Yeah.
The same way Christine can. And Christine, are you encouraged if somebody else other than you speaks into your husband's life?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I asked my kids today what they thought of their experience, and my daughter can answer that one too. She said, "I just like to say it was a sense of family, since we didn't have any in town, of community pouring into us. I've read that somewhere, someone has a much higher chance of staying in the faith if there are two other people other than our parents influencing them. We had lots of that from kinship."
Yeah, that's a neat testimony. Yeah. That's a neat testimony. And I don't want to be stale about this presentation, because you four are everything but stale. You guys have some fun together, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
What's the most fun that you think you've had as a group?
Most fun we've ever had is when Mark got his smoker. He just has to send a text out and we are there.
So Mark's a hunter and so is Christine. Mm-hmm. And you guys are bringing home some exotic game.
Well, no. You could stop right there. These people like to be pampered.
we used to Mark had a volleyball pit and we used to play volleyball, but now we just sit on the porch.
We listen to some classic rock and eat good food.
Hey, sometimes we dance.
Yeah. Sometimes we dance.
Sometimes we dance. Yeah.
That sounds fun. What's the game of the week? And I don't mean the football game.
The game of the week? What do you mean?
The hunt of the week?
Oh,
the...
got it. Right now it's buffalo.
Oh, wow.
But usually it's elk.
Pretty lean. Both.
Very lean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so to that end, you know, in that First Corinthians, it talks about the gifts and the different things we all get. And it's neat when you just realize, you know, the Lord has used us from a hospitality standpoint. I often tell people, I don't have a lot of gifts in this life, but I love to entertain. If any of these people, it got to be late at night and they said, Mark, we probably would just spend the night. I'd be all over that. We just love to see people in the evening if they want to stay and cook them breakfast in the morning. And so I have come to accept that and know that everybody is different. And some people, that would scare the dog out of them. We could have 60, 70, 80 people at our house, because we have. Mm-hmm. And I'm smoking all kinds of meat, and we seem to have a handle on that. So for anybody listening, that may not be your gift, but I'll guarantee you God gave you some gift that you can shine at.
And we should emphasize that. You actually have the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Dare I say, this is your church?
Mm-hmm. It's the most... the closest circle of our church, absolutely. Yes. And yeah, lots of different gifts. We don't have the gift of hospitality, Denise and I. We get teased about that. We let them into our house occasionally, every fifth week or so. But,
and they tell us when it's 10 o'clock.
But then I think I could speak for Mark and myself. Sometimes we need Diego because we got to fix something.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah.
We get the bloody thumb from hitting it with the hammer, you know, but that guy's gifted. He's a gifted man.
Yes. Well, and we mentioned, you know, Diego. I remember one time talking with Diego about how to lay bricks on a curve in a ceiling.
Yeah.
And he was like the first guy in Albuquerque to do that. I remember having that conversation. And now all kinds of people do it.
Yeah.
And that's artistic.
Very gifted man. It's amazing. As is his wife, Genevieve. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. That's why they win the Parade of Homes whenever they enter it. Very talented.
Right. I think this kind of goes to one of the things that I've noticed within our kinship, and we've talked about it often. When you're looking into joining a small group, don't necessarily look for a small group where everybody's just like you. I look around our small group and, you know, the Paulsons are the major athletes, right? The Ruises are the artists, like so artistic. The Williams, they're business people. They're entrepreneurs. Lisa and Danny, they're mountain people. They're, you know, farmers. They've got a horse. There's us, again, another entrepreneur thing. We're all, though, so different in our personalities. We couldn't be more different. And yet we come together and we just click. And I think because we're all learning from each other. So, you know, when you're looking for a small group, don't necessarily look for one or be afraid of one that, gosh, they're all so different from me. Maybe that's exactly where God wants you to be, where you're going to be kind of spurred on and inspired and challenged.
We're going to have one more 20-minute segment together, but I need to take a break, say thank you to our sponsors, and we do appreciate them as well, bringing the content to you. I'm Jim Williams. I'm sitting in for Steve Ryman. I've got Mark and Christine Paulson and Steve and Denise McKee. They have been involved in the same small group with the same people for 35, 36 years, and it's an amazing story, the testimonies about how they get along, how they get together. We've talked about some of the fun they've had having barbecues and smoking meat and those kind of fun things. But I know this also. There's been tough stuff. And we're going to spend at least the first 5 minutes of the last segment talking about some tough stuff and how they've helped one another through those kind of things. We'll be back on ABQ Connect. Stay with us. There is absolutely no doubt that God did not design us to be alone. And I've got four people in our studio. And that means not alone in your marriage, not alone as friends. And they have had a group of five or six couples that has been together in a kinship group, connect group, you name it. They've been together for a really long time. And I hope as you're listening that you're being inspired to become part of a small group. It's particularly difficult because I think, I don't know if cell phones and handheld devices and things have hurt our interpersonal relationships. That's why I ask about your kids, Denise, and whether they feel it's important to meet face-to-face and be together. And I know that we have all the technology to have Zoom meetings and all of those kind of things, but I don't think anything important is being together. Steve, you mentioned off the air during the break that it kind of all came together, and you credit Mike Williams for that.
I do. It was when we were first meeting. We got married 2 weeks before they did. So we were first meeting, and Mike and I had developed a young friendship, and we were getting along. And so I had idolized him in high school because he was a senior when I was a freshman, football star and all that. But we did a seminar here called The Role of the Man in the Family years and years ago. And Mike just got really vulnerable with me, confessing some of his sin and his fears. And I'm like, okay, what do I do with that? Mm-hmm. And I decided to embrace it and return the favor. And that moment of trust, I think, set the tone for everything, because now the tone was set for our kinship that we were going to be vulnerable and be honest and be trustworthy with each other. And that's never changed.
I want you to tell us who the children are. And then I want the next question to be directed to the children.
Okay.
Tell us all the children involved in your group.
All right. Well, we have Diego, Angelo, and Natalia Ruiz, Samuel, Nathaniel, and Connie K. Andazola, Michaela and Matthew Williams. Let's see, we have
Michaela, Brittany,
Cody, and Chelsea Byrne, Michael, Sasha, and Savannah Stark, and Delaney, Riley, Cassidy, and Garvey McKee, and Jesse, and Stina, Gunner, and Dane Paulson.
We started with zero kids. We started with zero kids.
Started with zero kids. That's a lot of kids.
A lot of kids.
But these are young people now, you know, getting married, having children. You guys are doing the grandfather thing, which I really love. I have four granddaughters. It's a special part of life, I think. But the question that I have for all of you is, Steve hit on it with Mike, confessing sin to one another. The Bible says that we should confess our sins to one another. Why is that so important? Can't you just go in a room and just confess your sins to the Lord himself?
I think there's healing in that. And with many counselors, we receive more ideas and to possibly heal those areas, you know. And I think God had it right, you know, for us to do that, to confess to one another. And then there's that accountability. Once you confess, it's out in the light. Satan wants things in the dark. And when you bring it out in the light, now there's healing. Now you can begin. And now you've got a group that can surround you and help you through those difficult times in your life.
I had somebody the other day. Well, it wasn't the other day. It was several months ago. But the man came in about to be divorced, apparently, and spent about an hour telling me how much he hated his soon-to-be ex-wife and railed on everything he could possibly think of. And then toward the end of making the statements, and of course, he's talking to a person that is divorced, and I've lost every bit of credibility that I ever thought I would have. And for some reason, now God's using that to minister to people, which I find very fascinating. So I said to this man, and I've shared this on the radio before, I said, I'm very glad that you told me that your soon-to-be ex-wife is your enemy. I said, have you ever read Matthew 5? Have you ever read the first of the Sermon on the Mount? And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, Jesus himself said, you have heard it said that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I say to you, you should love your enemies. And he goes, what does that mean? And I said, exactly what it says. You may not have warm, fuzzy feelings, but you're supposed to love that person and pray for not them to drive off a cliff, but for God to bless their lives. And I think that was a change. Now, here's the funny thing is I ran into this guy this past weekend and he stopped me and he said, look, after you told me that, I thought about even trying to reconcile my marriage, but that didn't work out. We are divorced, but we are working together and parenting our children. And I really feel blessed that you shared that with us. That story is something that happened in your group every week.
Yeah. And I was, as Christine was talking, I was looking, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. The only way to get to the compassion is to confess and forsake. If you want to prosper, confess your sins to one another. We just found, and as we said, we're a microcosm of the church writ large. We found a group where that was safe. And we've been doing it.
You have been doing it. I already asked you about how fun this is, but is it fun to actually be released from stuff? Like, Mark, you've gone through some stuff. You started the show by talking about it. Did you feel released from things that were holding you?
Oh, yeah. And I think that's an ongoing battle because in this day and age, maybe forever, you know, we all get wounded. We all get stabbed in the back. We all get overlooked for things. They're just things that happen every day. And the one nice thing, there aren't many nice things about getting older, but one of the nice things is you just learn to let it go because it's, you know, I'm in the fourth quarter of my life. I don't want to waste 1 minute being bitter about anything. Mm-hmm. I simply don't have the time. So, you know, we've got nice homes. We've all been relatively successful. What is it this world has that I really need? And the answer is nothing.
Yes.
I mean, other than Jesus, I really, you know, like he says, don't love this world or anything in it. I don't know that I probably got that when I was a younger man, but I get it now.
We've been smiling most of this interview. This is maybe the 5 minutes I was talking about of tough stuff. You've also been through some tragedy in your relationships together. Yeah. How did the group help you through those?
I think, you know, there's been a lot of parents lost. There's been the death of a child in our group that was probably the darkest and hardest time that we've walked through as a kinship. But the gift for us has been the ability to come alongside that couple and just support them in that and love them through that and just be there. It's hard. You know, I think so often we want to, when tragedy hits, you just want to run the other way and not face it. But when you're in such a close kinship as we are, I think we all agreed is like, we can't run from this. We are in this with them, and we are going to walk through this tragedy with them. And we have, and it's been painful, and there's been a lot of tears. But you know what's beautiful is they're coming through it. Mm-hmm. And there's always going to be a hole. There's always going to be that missing of that child. But they're coming through it. And we get the blessing of knowing that we were part of the journey of them coming through that, mm-hmm. that grief period and just walking through that with them. So.
And you mentioned prayer, how important that is, Christine. That's mm-hmm. something that you've brought up several times in this interview today. Did you have prayer when you were young?
No.
No.
Well, I memorized some prayers.
Yeah.
No, these are action-filled, at the moment, I need you kind of prayers. And we get those sometimes at all times of the night. So, yeah, it's been quite a journey, and I know that things are going to come, you know, tomorrow, next year, in everybody's life. And it's just nice to know that when we go through those things, that I've got a family, a kinship that's, you know, closer than a family, in my case, that will have my back.
Well, you mentioned loss of a child. I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine loss of parents. I've lost both of my parents in the last year and a half. Oh. But I will say mm-hmm. this. I just appreciate my parents. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, I'm just so blessed to have had the parents that I've had. And I know other people have not had that experience. And God will be your parent if you are in that relationship. And He is your Father, and He's going to care for you. I pray that you take some time to reconcile. If you're listening today and you've been isolated, you've not taken care of your family, you've not been part of a group, you might be divorced, whatever, step up and become part of them. It might not be easy to get back in that relationship, but you need to commit to that. Not everybody's in the place. In fact, I would say that almost none of us have had the blessing of the special group that you guys have had. So where do we start, Steve McKee?
Well, you can't get to 35 years until you get to 34. And you can't get to a year until you get to a month. And you can't get to a month until you get to a week. So I really think it's, we had no idea this was going to happen. God just totally blessed it. But we did begin very intentionally saying, let's get together on Tuesday night to have a kinship. There were three couples at the time. And that's the only thing I could encourage is reach out. Because we all want this. We're human beings. We need this. We need social interaction. We need trust. We need vulnerability. So be the person to reach out. Maybe it's somebody younger than you. Maybe it's a mentorship relationship at first. But just invest in relationship and then watch what God does.
I can't help but think about life getting in the way for so many people. I know how busy all four of you are, but you've made it very regular and you were very committed to it. Can everybody do that? Can everybody make it? I mean, or is it life just too busy?
Well, it's about priorities, you know, and it's life changing. It took us, speaking for Krishna, it's taken us through our entire 40 years in Albuquerque with these folks and almost to 40. But I want to encourage people too that are listening that when we first got here, and I was a new believer, I didn't get saved till I was 27 years old. In Southern California, when I finally heard expository teaching, and I'm like, how come nobody ever told me this before? Mm-hmm. And it was fascinating to me. So we get here, and I'm kind of happy where I'm at in life with the Lord. And we started the first FCA at UNM. Had no idea what we were doing. Provided no structure other than letting kids know where we were going to be. And they showed up. And now we hear stories from those kids. You would have swore we were Billy Graham.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, I know I went in there not having a clue what we were going to do. But my point is, don't feel like you have to have this preponderance of biblical theology in your back pocket. Just get together with some people and figure it out as you go.
Yes. And that's a lot of fun. Mark, I might encourage you. I just had a young man named DC Tapscott. He's competing for the quarterback position at the University of New Mexico. He is a transfer from North Carolina, Appalachian State. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether he will win the starting job, but I can tell you this. He's already got 30 players in a Bible study. The guy's already stepped up. I mean, I had him on the radio. I had Danny Gonzalez and Roger Holian, who you know. You know, these are people that just love the Lord, that want to do things right for people. And you guys are just the same flavor. And you're on the radio today sharing this with us because I know you want to see this kind of duplicated in other people. All of you have replicated yourselves in what you've done. Denise, I know about 20 little dancers that are all blessed little dancers because of your hard work with Allwins and with Christmas Joy and all of that. Steve, I know many men that you've mentored and talked with over the years. Mark, your reputation not only making people stronger, but people that have courage and people that give their all, that's been fantastic. And Christine, I'm so jazzed that you're staying in such great shape and still competing. You're like my idol. I love that so much. What's a parting note, Steve, if you would, as people are listening to this show, they're maybe taking some notes about, yeah, we need to do this, we need to do that. These are some people. Encourage them just to make a call and get a regular meeting going with somebody.
Don't seek relationship, start relationship. Reach out to somebody, take them out for a cup of coffee, have a conversation. You might not connect, and that's fine. Do it with somebody else. Sooner or later, you're going to click, and two are better than one.
I love it so much. Steve and Denise McKee, Mark and Christine Paulson, thank you all for joining us today on ABQ Connect. We're all blessed to hear this story, and God bless your group and all that you do moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks.